Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, everyone, shut up and look at me.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
The less I know about other people's affairs, the happier I am. I'm not interested in caring about people.
Isaac Rob.
I once worked with a guy for 3 years and never learned his name. Best friend I ever had. We still never talk sometimes.
Jason Sukanik.
I also think it's pointless for a human to paint scenes of nature when they could just go outside and stand in it.
Prime Time on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080.
Please do not misinterpret the fact that I am talking right now as genuine interest. End of speech.
The Fan.
Ahoy! Happy rainy Tuesday to you. A ropless edition of Prime Time. Buck sitting in with me. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Rop is having his own Blazer Media Day right now.
That seems about right.
He was so fired up about Blazer Media Day yesterday.
Did he OD on Blazers content?
I think he just needed more. I think he just, he showed up. Rumor has it he showed up at the practice facility. One of two things has happened. We don't know where Rop is. One of two things. Either A, he is down because he just, the Blazer Media Day was so exciting, he had to go back, and he's like standing at the practice facility right now doing the open, desperate for more content, or like he's been arrested like at an ICE protest or something. Or maybe he's part of the National Guard that's deployed. I think they're like,
so many options now.
Yeah, they're being mobilized, right?
That's right.
What if Rob's in there cracking protester skulls?
Well, I mean, it seems like they're even running promos like ICE is taking people. Maybe yeah. Rob's taking a turn and he's putting up the hood and covering up his face and cracking skulls downtown.
Let's play the fun game of what is more likely the reason why Isaac Rob not here today. Blazer media related. Or somehow, one way or another, involved in the ICE National Guard deployment.
As crazy as that would be, the Blazer stuff might be even crazier.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't think of someone who is less likely to be involved in some sort of political unrest on either side. Like, if you told me, I'm not sure which one's more likely, that Rop would be the one, like hitting a protest or Rop would protest. You could have a protest in Isaac Rop's front yard, and I don't think he's attending. And yet I still feel that's more likely than Rop being involved in Blazer Media Day. In fact, let's play the fun game. Is Isaac Rop aware that Blazer Media Day was yesterday?
That's a good question. He might be aware that there were some Blazers, there's video of Blazers people talking, but I don't know if he would know that there was an actual event devoted to it.
Because I don't think yesterday we talked at all about Blazer. Now, it was going on while we were on
and
the
air. That's just the thing is none of the news that came out of it or, you know, the kind of noteworthy sound bites had happened or had been out there yet because it was, like you said, ongoing while we were on the air.
Yeah. So, like, when he's back from whatever he's doing, when they get done detaining him, when the hood comes off and someone releases him because they realize Rob is an American citizen, or is he? Maybe this whole time Rob's been like a double agent.
Yeah, YouTube says, what if he just got deported but back to Salina?
It's possible that Rob has been deported. I will say one of the funniest things that has happened, we've been doing this show for 20 plus years together now. When we first got on TV, we had an industry, be careful. We had an industry insider, let's say like a consultant.
Okay.
Right? And we were having a meeting, and this was just when we were going on Comcast, back when they still had Comcast Sportsnet.
Yep.
Oh, back in the day.
That was my first introduction to you guys. I used to come up here from the Bay Area to go to Ducks games, and I'd crash on Buddy's couches in Portland.
Yeah.
And, you know, your ugly mugs would be up there on repeat from your show, would be on at like 2 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah. So we were down, and I think Rob had just started to grow his beard. And he wasn't gray yet or whatever, but one of the consultants did tell Rob that he should probably shave his beard.
Okay.
And we were like, and at the time, I think I might have been dinking around with still doing some church stuff. I didn't have if I had a beard, it was thinly cut.
Sure.
Right? I did not have what is currently on my face. And when Rob was like, well, why, you know, should I shave my beard? Because, you know, there's that old thing that like sometimes kids find beards untrustworthy or whatever. And the consultant goes, you look Middle Eastern. Oh. We're like, I remember sitting there and it was this real awkward thing. And it's like, we can't really tell where you're from. And
need a Muslim?
It's kind of like a Middle Eastern vibe. And I remember looking at her or him and saying, so what?
Why would that matter?
And then they got, well...
I'm not saying that.
I'm just saying. It just got into this real weird, awkward state. So it is possible. You know, we have been told by an industry insider that Isaac Rob with the beard did look strangely Middle Eastern.
Could be off-putting to listenership, apparently.
It is possible that Isaac Rob has indeed been deported. What if he was just, because he kind of lives over in that general area.
Yeah, he does.
Our old building.
Was right there.
Mm-hmm. Before we moved down here into the shadows of the Fremont Bridge, we used to be right, like we literally shared a parking lot.
Yeah.
If you hopped a little chain link fence from our parking lot, you would be, well, you couldn't, but you'd be in the ice parking lot.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys dealt with it the same as we did, but because I was working on the morning show at the time, and with all the, you know, COVID unrest and then the protests that were happening and whatnot, there were a couple mornings people had, like, thrown and broken windows there, and there was, like, police activity out there, and I'm just trying to drive through to produce a morning show, and they're like, no, we can't let you through. I'm like, I've got this letter here that says I'm doing a public service.
Yeah, we had to have a little, we had a letter from FEMA. The dude's name was like Mark Wolf, by the way, which was a total badass name.
Yeah,
we had sometime had to show him, and even then they would make us kind of drive
around. Yeah.
We'd have to go around. So I don't know if that's the reason why we left, but yeah, there was a minor kerfuffle over there. And Rob does live over in that general direction.
What if they've secretly been recruiting him for years, dude, and they just finally got him to take the plunge?
I just love the idea of Rob driving home, somehow being diverted around like some sort of barricade, and then like being asked for some papers, and Rob's like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm from Kansas. And they're like, I don't like that attitude. Next thing you know, Rob's in cuffs being drug away. It's possible Rob has been deported. I don't know.
But we soldier on.
Somehow we soldier on.
Well, and without Rob today, we can talk about the biggest contract in hockey history, right? That's what everyone wants to
get
into.
We can talk about the biggest contract in hockey history, which I'm sure everyone's fired up about. Hot Minnesota Wild talk.
Yeah.
We have Blazer Media Day that we can discuss. And by the way, I will talk about Blazer Media Day. We didn't get into it much. One, Rob doesn't care about the Blazers. And two, all that stuff was happening. But I got home last night and certainly wasn't watching any of the Monday Night Football games. Like, if you want to talk about being allergic to something,
that was rough.
We had both of those games on.
And we love football.
Yes. I will watch just about anything.
We'll bet on Kent State and watch Max Jones on a Tuesday.
You're damn right we will. And I'll tell you what. When Kent State gets that second win of the year,
we're going to party.
And I deposit a sweet $52.50 into my pocket.
It's going right back to Jerry's.
Oh, Dude, I'll tell you what. When that happens, Buck, we're at Jerry's and that pitcher of Hams is on me.
There we go.
That's well, actually at Jerry's, we can probably buy like 9 pitchers. Beer's super cheap. But no, I will watch. I watch preseason football. And I found myself last night just unable to watch either one of those games. And I'm not sure, like, the Cincinnati game was worse. Do you see Troy Aikman? Like, Troy Aikman, I have never heard Troy Aikman call out a broadcast.
Yep.
Troy Aikman literally was lobbying for NFL officials to stop throwing flags because the game was already bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
Troy goes, Troy, at one point, there was like an illegal block in the back, and Aikman goes, yeah, it was a good call, but an unnecessary one. He goes, this broadcast is being ruined by yellow flags. Mm-hmm. The very next play, another procedural penalty. I thought Troy Aikman was going to stab himself in the eye with a soldering iron. And this was midway through the third quarter. And by the way, that was like when I checked out. I was like, I can't do this. When Troy Aikman says, dude, this is ruining the broadcast, I literally got up and the BTJ was like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm like, I can't.
Can't do it anymore.
I can't. I
well, just... the best two things that came out of those games were a couple of sound bites. Did you, I mean, one of them a little controversial. Did you hear the Breece Hall one?
No, I didn't hear the Breece Hall one.
He said, when we play other teams, they go and shoot themselves in the foot. Then we come right back and we shoot ourselves in the head.
He's not wrong.
For the Jets is actually kind of astute, you know? And then I saw J.K. Dobbins did the Spanish language broadcast post-game interview, and he said that Bo Nix es especial.
You can't make that stuff up.
No.
But midway through the third quarter last night, there were 22 penalties in that Cincinnati game. 22 penalties.
God.
And the Bengals ended up with 159 yards. Their first possession went. Remember when they said that, you know, like there were actually Cincinnati fans that were so upset that Joe Burrow got hurt. They were being like, good, move on. Jake Browning's fine anyway.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
No. I also, their offensive line.
Oh.
Of them facing four offensive linemen facing a one man rush, both tackles losing. The idea of where the rushers are and the one rusher still getting through. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I mean, I was watching the Chargers and Giants.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get me off on a whole tangent here. There's a lot of bad ball being played right now in the NFL. And we always talk about in the NFL how there's bad quarterback play. And I get it. There is bad quarterback play. There is. And I give you Jake Browning. Well, in fact, I'll give you, you know, I can give you Justin Fields. I can give you Tua. I mean, we can go down the list. There's you know, from Caleb Williams to C.J. Stroud, there's bad quarterback play.
Tua Tagovailoa.
The biggest problem that the NFL is facing right now is not quarterback play. It's honestly offensive line. And it's not just offensive line. It's backup offensive linemen. When the Chargers lost Rashawn Slater, I was like, okay, that's a blow. And then when Joe Alt went down.
That's probably too much to handle.
That Charger offensive line. When you watch them play against the Giants front, and the Giants front is good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. That Giants front can wreck a lot of game plans. You look at Thibodeau, you look at Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Abdul Carter. I mean, they're trying to do what the 49ers did back in the day. We're just going to throw first round picks.
As much athleticism as we can in the front seven and just try to get after you.
Yeah. And we're going balls to the wall. But when you start having to deal with backup offensive linemen, it is an abomination. I don't care if you're Justin Herbert. I don't care if you're Patrick Mahomes. And we saw Mahomes in two Super Bowls that were like this.
Well, and everyone talks about how quarterback play is the most important thing, and it is, but it's good offensive line play that enables that.
Yeah, at one point, the Buccaneers were dealing with four backup offensive linemen. And that's the thing, too, is a lot of times when you lose two offensive linemen, you don't just lose two offensive linemen, you have to reshuffle. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers' best offensive lineman was their center. He was playing left tackle. He's not a left tackle. But they were like, last year in the Super Bowl, right? Joe Tooney was the Chiefs' best offensive lineman. They're like, dude, we're going to have to move you out to play left tackle. So not only do you now have a wonky left tackle, but now the guy that was the stalwart at center or left guard is out of position. Dude, it is one of those things now that, like, you cannot overcome bad offensive line play. The Raiders are dealing with this right now. By the way, Colt Miller, one of the few O linemen with the Raiders that are worth a damn.
Yep.
He's on IR now with a fractured ankle. You just have an epidemic of bad O line play. And not only does bad old line play get Joe Burrow hurt, but now you have bad old line play coupled with Jake Browning. They went on that first opening drive and got a field goal. Would you care to guess what happened in their next eight possessions? That's eight punts.
Ooh.
Eight.
Yeah, I was kind of visually tuning out at that point, but that sounds right.
Yeah, the other fun one is every one of those punts, guess where those punts occurred?
In their own half of the field?
Their own half of the field.
Yeah, not even moving the ball.
No. They didn't cross midfield once.
Well, now I think Ja'Marr Chase came out after the game and said it looked like we didn't care.
Yeah.
And now you got your superstar player without his superstar quarterback saying, what are we even doing out here if everyone's not going to try?
Yeah. It's dude, it's bad stuff. And O-line play, it's just, no one wants to talk about it because it's not necessarily like the sexy thing. I'm not going to sit here and go through and like break down like the left guard. But the Seahawks have a pretty good team right now. And I'm not saying their offensive line is terrible.
But they're intact.
They're intact. Anthony Bradford, who is their right guard, might be the worst guard in the NFL. Just do yourself a favor. I'll see if I can find it. Someone actually put together a clip of him playing. It you will be shocked. Like, if I showed you a clip of him over the last 3 or 4 weeks and said, this is a starting NFL offensive lineman, you'd be like, no, he's not. There are people playing right now, starting NFL linemen. And by the way, he's not there because of injury. He's just the best right guard they have, that literally are doing things on film that the average fan would look at. If this was at a receiver, if this was at a corner, if this was at a running back, if this was at a quarterback.
If a casual football fan's just paying attention.
You would look at it and be like, you would just be shocked. But because it happens, especially in the interior of the line, no one notices. At least when a tackle gets beat, it's like, oh my God. Interior line play is just as bad. For whatever reason, I think it's just harder to see that we don't pay attention to it. But there was a play in the Chargers and Giants game where they just let, and I forget, I'm trying to remember who it was, what interior lineman for the Giants, they just let him go. I've never seen a defensive tackle not get blocked. And when I tell you, like, not blocked, like, literally, they just, I watched it like five different times. I couldn't figure out what happened. They just decided to not block him. Even he couldn't believe it. It was kind of one of those where he thought it was a screen pass. He's like, this is it. No, I'm just going to keep running in. And then he chases down Justin Herbert. And so when pockets start collapsing from the inside, you know, this is like the CJ Stroud thing. It's like, what's wrong with CJ Stroud? What's wrong with CJ Stroud is his offensive line. There's just not many players in the league that can overcome bad line play. And there is an epidemic right now in bad offensive line play. So when you see bad ball and we're going to blame coordinators and we're blaming quarterbacks and all that, sometimes it just simply boils down to if you have garbage O-line and you start losing 1, 2, God forbid, 3 starting linemen.
It's like an avalanche. You're not getting up from it.
No. Yeah.
Well, so real quick, back to that penalty thing, and this can be a quick answer, but what do you do about that? Because if to Aikman's point, if the calls are right, are the refs supposed to not call him to make the game smoother? Or like, how do you fix that?
I think what Aikman was saying on the one is when he said it's unnecessary, if there is a backside block,
like it doesn't impact the play.
It doesn't impact
yeah.
the play. And that's a rub that I have
gotcha.
Quite a bit. And again, it's a very hard thing to do, but if you're in the middle of a game, especially one that's brutal and it's ending and it's just ugly, and you've got a guy and we're running a toss player, we're running an outside zone, and a guy is 15 yards away and he's got a little tug of the jersey.
You don't need to call it.
You don't need to call it. Yeah. Same thing, like what drives me nuts is like it'll be 3rd and 16, and someone gives the slightest jersey tug on a 6-yard out route, and we throw the flag and it's like an automatic first down. You're like, there has to be some discretion. And I'm not saying at certain points of the game, like you swallow the whistle or you hold the flag in. Like, I don't like that.
But certain penalties impact the game more than others,
yes.
Which is, I think, to your point.
Yes. And I think that was Aikman's point.
Gotcha.
We've got to get to a point where you can't be having 22 penalties. In the middle of the third quarter, 22 penalties.
Too many.
And so you can sit there and say, well, then don't commit penalties. Well, that's not happening.
Right, because you could argue that penalties are being committed on every play.
Yes. And so at some point, there needs to be a discussion to make some of these games, as Troy Aikman said, more watchable. And we got to start being able to make the determination of what is a penalty and what is a, I believe that's what he said, it's an unnecessary call.
Makes sense.
Yes. you know, hands to the face or whatever during a pass, I get it. That's necessary.
But the kinds where it's, you know, there's a hold 15 yards behind a punt return or something like that. Yeah, I get it.
And someone asked the question, what is it about backup offensive linemen? I know we're up against it. I do want to address, it's shocking, the offensive lineman is in charge today, and we're going to talk about O-line. But I do think that one of the reasons why we are getting some bad offensive line play and bad offensive play is the player's own fault. I'll touch upon that next. And then I do want to get into Blazer Media Day, because I do think there were some interesting things that came out of Media Day. And I think this is just an interesting season in general, looking ahead. Because I think we've been in the wilderness now for, what, 4.5, almost 5 years?
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But is there? Or is the light in the tunnel just the damn train coming down the tracks at us? Both of those things when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan. Whenever I hear this, I just think about Dirk Diggler.
This was the opening scene track, right?
Such a good movie.
Was this the opening scene track when they're going through the club, or was this later in the movie?
This is later. This is like when they're doing like the montage, when like he when he becomes like a big beautiful star.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
And they're doing a montage of just of 70s party.
I'm trying to remember what the opening scene song is, but I remember it being like a big deal because they used the same camera track shot for like 9.5 minutes straight without a cut. Yeah. Going through the club where he was working, and then Burt Reynolds is in there. And
Boogie Nights is criminally underrated, and it doesn't get any respect because it's a movie about the 70s porn industry.
Yeah, but it's a masterpiece.
Dude, it is a masterpiece. And you look at the people that are in there, from Burt Reynolds to Mark Wahlberg.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's
in it. Julianne Moore is in it.
Don Cheadle, William H. Macy.
It is such a good movie. That is one of those like criminally underrated. The number of times I'll bring that up, or I'll be like, oh, that reminds me of Boogie Nights. And someone will be like, Boogie Nights. I'm like, I'm telling you, get past the porn thing and just watch it and tell me if that isn't a phenomenal movie.
I also heard something, or I've read something. I've heard it in the past, read something more about it recently. Kind of an interesting little nugget about that movie. Leonardo DiCaprio was offered that role at the same time that he was offered the role of Jack in the Titanic.
Oh.
And he basically had to choose between the two.
He made a good decision.
He made the good decision, but he's also said that kind of got him more pigeonholed as like the heartthrob guy, and that he wonders, I mean, obviously he says Mark was great in that role, like that was perfect for him, but wonders, you know, in the sliding doors of Hollywood, had he taken that, what that would have been like, how it would have changed his career, etc.
Oh, I love stuff like that. Like all the time you see, well, who was it? Burt Reynolds was supposed to be Indiana Jones. Not Burt Reynolds, Tom Selleck.
Oh, okay.
And Magnum P.I. wouldn't let him.
Wouldn't let him out of his contract. Wouldn't
let him out
of
his contract. Wouldn't let him have time off. Die Hard was written for Schwarzenegger. Die Hard was a sequel to Commando.
Okay.
And Schwarzenegger was doing something else. Maybe it was like Terminator 2 or something, whatever. He was doing a different movie. And so they were like, well, like, there's no one else like Schwarzenegger, and so they redid it as more of an everyman cop sort of thing,
as opposed to the military man who's back from. Okay,
now interesting. Imagine Die Hard, but
with Arnold.
Arnold in there, it doesn't quite work the same. Get to the roof,
yippee-ki-yay, mother.
Yeah, it doesn't work, and that led Bruce Willis. I mean, Bruce Willis before that was in Moonlighting. So I love when you hear stuff like that. Like this person was supposed to do that. And, you know, in that case, it worked out for both of them and definitely went on to be giant stars. We do have some breaking news. You pointed this out. It was like 30 minutes ago.
Pretty new.
Yeah, there's a bit of a story developing down in Corvallis.
A little smoke there.
That we will get to as well. And we've reached out to Angie Machado of Beaver Blitz. We'll see if maybe she might be able to circle around today. But it's some interesting news because we're just kind of learning about this. Don't want to jump the gun, but could be maybe some financial skedaddling of funds going on down there at Oregon State. We were talking about bad offenses, and we saw some bad offenses last
Somebody time. Said skedaddle.
And we've seen bad offenses in the NFL. There's just some really bad play. And I think a lot of it isn't necessarily bad quarterback play. It's bad offensive line play. I think when you look at backup quarterbacks, right, you look at Jake Browning, when Burrow got hurt and Browning came in, what was that, 2 years ago? Browning got him a split, right? We've seen
one and one, right?
Yeah, we've seen teams. Actually, I think it was, I want to say he was like 3-3. I think he played more than a
was
couple.
Was it more than that?
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah.
It was 2 years ago. And we've seen backup quarterbacks come in, and when you Mac Jones, when he came in for Brock Purdy,
yeah.
right? You can have competent play.
Some success, yeah.
Yeah, and we know those quarterbacks aren't necessarily going to be great.
I mean, even Darnold last year when it was supposed to be McCarthy.
Yes. But then you see sometimes starting quarterbacks, like what's happening with like the Houston Texans. And you're like, dude, what is wrong with C.J. Stroud? What is wrong with Geno Smith? Geno Smith looks like the old Geno Smith right now down in Las Vegas. And people ask, like, what's going on with that? And my answer to both of those, it's why backup quarterbacks look good, and it's why starting quarterbacks look bad, and it just comes down to offensive line play. There are very few players in this league that can overcome bad O-lines, and I mean very, very few. There's guys that can mask it. Like, when you get a Patrick Mahomes, you get a Josh Allen, you get a Lamar Jackson, at times, you can mask bad offensive line play. Mm-hmm.
Your quarterback can essentially bail you out if he's that slick and that talented,
yes.
But not if it's happening so frequently that he's got to be Superman every play.
Justin Herbert is a really good quarterback. I think Justin Herbert is a top five quarterback in the league. Justin Herbert was useless against the Giants front. When both of his tackles went down, and you just had this makeshift offensive line in front of him against that Giants front, Justin Herbert looked terrible. One of the worst games that he's played in a while. And that just stems from battle line play. And I think you're seeing more and more teams that are investing in what? Defensive fronts. The best way to run from defense, and it's no longer just edge rushers.
And even defensive fronts and skill position players, yes. Your wide receivers, your tight ends, your quarterbacks.
And more defensive coordinators are going down the road of these of the Brian Floreses, and they're getting really slick with showing you one thing. Giving you a blitz look, knowing that you are going to slide your offensive line one way.
Or even change your play, call your second
And they're
going
to change their play, and they give you simulated pressures, and they're coming from other directions. Defenses have never been more slick. They really have. We're entering a golden age of you got some defensive coordinator. Jesse Minter with the Chargers is doing some things. Brian Flores is
gonna be
doing
head coach
some
soon.
Things.
And Flores might get another shot.
Spags is more responsible than Andy Reid for the last two Super Bowls in Kansas City. It's Spags and it's Patrick Mahomes. And so you're seeing this and you're coupling it with shaky offensive line play. And there's two reasons. Someone asked on the question, why are these backups so bad? Are they not starting with the ones? First off, no, they're not. They're not. Backups do not get a lot of reps.
Well, I'm not sure how many people know this, but the league has pretty tight rules about how much time you can spend practicing and whatnot. There's only so many reps to go around, and those backups usually don't get them, right?
No. When you are a backup, you are basically getting scout team reps, and you may get a handful of plays. And you said it right there. So to answer the question, no, they aren't getting reps with the ones. And when they are, it is very, very limited. And this is the biggest thing. A number of years ago, the NFLPA, and this is why I said some of this is on the NFLPA. A number of years ago, the NFLPA, during contract negotiations, they weren't going to get more revenue. They weren't getting more money. The owners weren't budging on that. And what did they end up getting? What concession were the owners willing to give up?
Less work.
Less padded practices. And look, I'm not saying that it's good the way we used to do it, but they did this in college and they did it. Like, there are no two-a-days anymore. They do not exist. No one from college to the NFL runs padded practices anymore back to back. And I'm telling you, back in NFL camp in the olden days, it was two practices a day in full pads. That's just the way it was. And those practices were not an hour and a half and none of them were walkthroughs. College, even worse. You could have training camp. You could have 28 straight padded practices, and it was inside run drill, and it was 9-on-7, and it was. It was a go. We're gonna break your balls. We are going to knock your new you know what in the dirt, and it beat you up, and it was physical, and guys got hurt. But you know what it did?
Prepared them to play.
Prepared you to play. And now we've taken away preseason game. We've taken away preseason reps. We've taken away practice reps. And so what you have is you have offensive linemen that just aren't prepared.
Maybe they could be ready, but they're not ready.
No. And they're playing against defensive schemes. And by the way, defensive linemen, oh my God, they're terrifying. There are literally monsters.
They start salivating when they see that second
yes.
guy come in.
And defensive linemen are bigger, stronger, faster than ever. The defenses are more complex than ever. When I look and I try to be a student of the game, when I see some of the pressure looks that defenses are throwing at people, and I think about me being a center back in the day and having to kind of be aware of what's going on, I find it terrifying. I sometimes, because I don't get to do it as much with college, but I watch the all NFL 22 stuff, and I look at some of that, and I'm like, how on earth did you, or were you able to tell that that was coming? And I'm like, oh, well, you weren't, which is why you got your quarterback hit in the teeth. The other thing, the college game. We talk all the time about the college game not preparing quarterbacks. It's not preparing linemen. When you look at an offense in college, when you talk to NFL scouts, and let's say we're evaluating a left tackle. Over the course of, let's take Ole Miss, for example. Ole Miss, what, number four team in the country right now?
Yep, that's right.
When you're watching Ole Miss offense, you could watch a game where there's 60 offensive snaps, and an NFL scout would tell you that from a left tackle's perspective, there may be seven snaps all game that I can actually judge that left tackle of what that's going to look like in the NFL.
Just because NFL teams aren't running the same things that Ole Miss is running?
Nope. Everything in the college game, it's why you don't see guys in the college. When's the last time in college you saw a guy with 15 sacks? You don't. Why? Because it's out of his hands. It's RPO spam stuff. It's quick tempo. It's outside run game. It's zone read stuff. It's not the NFL game. It's not. And so not only are you have all these factors that are going once you get to the league, your college is not preparing you. The college game for offensive linemen looks nothing like it does when you get to the NFL and what you're being asked to do. Oh, and then by the way, not only are you being asked to play a completely different game and do something 50 times a game that you were maybe asked to do in a college game 5 or 6, guess who you're doing it against? Not a college defensive lineman. You're not doing it. Even in the mighty SEC, I'm sorry, but the guy that you're facing that's the tackle at Vanderbilt, or is the rush end at Auburn, that ain't Myles Garrett. That's not Abdul Carter. It's just not. And so you're getting this situation where you're throwing ill-prepared guys into a league where they're not getting coaching, they're not getting reps, and then all of a sudden, as backups, on a moment's notice, you're being thrown into the game, and the moment the backup O-lineman comes in, guess what the defensive coordinator is going to do?
Target him.
Big old circle right around you. You don't think that when Myles Garrett sees the backup guy come in, they're like, well, we know, or Abdul Carter, well, we know where we're rushing, right here.
I mean, isn't that the whole military thing? You find the weak point and you attack that. There you go. Yep. We're going to funnel all of our resources to mess that part up and put a crack in your foundation.
Yeah. And so now sometimes you just end up with these situations where quarterbacks are running for their life and game plans get destroyed. And so when we sit here and we criticize play calling and we criticize quarterback play, we criticize run game stuff, realize that if I can't block you, I don't know what you want me to do as an offensive coordinator. And the other one too is there's some really bad O-line coaching going on. Do you realize that when Pete Carroll took the Raiders job, do you know who he hired as his offensive line coach?
No.
His kid.
Oh.
Guess what his kid didn't coach before?
O-line.
O-line. Mm. Guess it has one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL.
That would be the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm guessing.
There you go. So before we start criticizing Geno Smith or Jake Browning or CJ Stroud.
Or even Ashton Jeanty, who's caught some crap so far.
Take a look at some of the stuff going on out there. A lot of times the problem is deeper than what you realize on TV. When we come black, Blazer Media Day. Or when we come black, I guess we can come black. Although we're
red and black.
We're very white. Yeah, we'll go red and black. When we come back, red and black. A little Blazer Media Day coverage. When we come back, primetime here on The Fan.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone texted in and said, talk about a line play. Simon sacking Stroud in less than 1 second was great. Yeah. There are quarterbacks now that are getting pressure in like less than a second. So I said, there's heat-seeking missiles over on the defensive side of the ball and bad old linemen sitting in front of them.
And it's only reasonable to expect so much out of a quarterback when that's going on.
Yeah. Someone said, like, would a spring league or the NFL Europe be beneficial? Absolutely, it would be. But it's not going to happen. The NFL is not going to invest in that money, and guys aren't going to go and play in the UFL if they don't have to. But yes, like back in the day, we had a guy, Seahawks fan would know him, Ben Hamilton, was an All-American center at Minnesota and was drafted by the Broncos a year after I got there. Really good dude. And just was one of those guys that didn't quite work as a rookie, and they sent him to NFL Europe. He was in Berlin, and then I was in Scotland, and Ben came back from that, and Ben talked about it. It was a game changer for him. He moved over to guard, and Ben ended up playing a bunch of years in Denver, signed a nice contract in Seattle, and played probably 10 years in the league. And he talks about the NFL Europe was a huge deal for him.
Because he could develop and learn the game at a professional level?
Yeah. I had a really good time. That was some of the best ball I've ever played in NFL Europe. Now, my body fell apart afterwards. But, yeah, I learned a lot over in NFL Europe in the season when I was over there. Because it's a chance to play. Like, if you come from a system that doesn't really prepare you well for being in the NFL and then you're a backup, you don't really get an opportunity to get better. And then the ugly one, Trent Dilfer used to talk about this all the time when he used to come on the program back in the day. We all assume because you're in the NFL, you get the best coaching, and it's just not true. There is some really bad coaching that goes on in positions in the NFL. I don't think there's necessarily bad coordinators. I don't think that is tolerated. I mean, we all know now that coordinator pay and that position is pretty prestigious. You've got to get it done. If you're a crappy coordinator and you have a bad year or two, your ass is gone. But I do think certain positions, I think nepotism, and I don't know exactly why it's this way, but it's not just nepotism. There's just bad coaching. And I honestly think that O-line and D-line are one of the worst. And I would make the argument that the O-line play or the O-line coaching in college at times, because obviously there's 128 schools, but it is actually better than what goes on in the NFL. Once you get to the NFL, there's almost this idea that you should already know what you're doing.
Sure. It's like the expectation that you've already learned what you're supposed to in school, so now you're ready for your career job.
Yes.
Like you're not, there's not as much on-the-job training, so to speak. It's more like, no, you should already have that in your bag, and this is what our plan is to do with it.
Yeah. And so they just don't, with the limited amount of time they have, they can't really hold your hand, right? It just, I remember the first time, having to really play against someone that ended up being, a Hall of Famer. Like, whether it's in preseason, with the 49ers, Dana Stubblefield and Bryant Young, or in practice, it was Warren Sapp or Trevor Price. And I remember asking my O-line coach, the hell am I supposed to do about that? And him looking at me and being what do you want me to?
You expect me to help you?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, and kind of at the end of the day, it's that guy's really good. So you better figure it out. You know what to do. And it's you kind of get thrown out on an island a little bit.
Yeah.
And honestly, at times, there really isn't an answer to how do you block Aaron Donald.
Yeah, with help, and then, of course, you're leaving something else open?
Yes. They're just, it really is kind of this weird catch-22, where in college, you really do have more time to kind of groom and develop. And if you aren't in a program that is teaching you how to do NFL things, when, especially if you're a high round pick, you know, sometimes if you're a fourth, fifth round guy, maybe you do get some time on some practice squad and you can kind of work with it. But when you're a first, second, or a third round pick and you're kind of thrown to the fire, you are expected to perform.
Yeah. They think you already have that part of it figured out.
Yeah. Well, and this goes for quarterback play too. Like Jackson Dart got thrown into that game, and Jackson Dart, how do I say this? I try to pick my words carefully when we talk about this stuff. Like Jackson Dart comes in and had a really nice performance against the Chargers. And that's a very tough defense that he's facing there, right? Jesse Minter runs one of the more complex schemes in the NFL. I mean, honestly, between Minter and Flores, take your pick. Which one throws more like, oh my God, what is this looks? But what they asked Jackson Dart to do in that game was very similar to like what Daniel Jones did with Brian Daboll. That was not NFL quarterbacking. They gave him a very limited scope.
Daniel Jones.
On what he had to do. Now, to Jackson Dart's credit, he executed it. He also took 6 sacks, and most of the plays he made were with his legs.
And he got banged around a lot.
He got banged around a lot, or it was one step, God, here's the seam ball, I need you to rip it, and he had the arm talent to do it. The problem becomes is we see Jackson Dart in that game, and everyone's what's the story coming out of that game? We're all fanning over Jackson Dart. I promise you, defensive coordinators are looking at that being like, like, you dumb bitch. Like, this is about to get bad. Like you, but for Brian Daboll, he needs to win games, or he's going to get.
I told you, you dumb bitch.
Or he's going to get fired. Right? Dable's up against it, so Brian Daboll is literally putting together a package, much like he did with Daniel Jones. Hey, we're going to do this very limited thing, but we think we can kind of ham and egg our way to a victory here. Oh, by the way, we're playing against a backup O-line for the Chargers, and we're just going to send the house at Herbert, and our defense is going to, I think they held him to, what, 18 points? And so it's like, yeah. Hey, man, Jackson, we just need you to make a handful of plays, run around a little bit.
You can get us to 3 scores.
But that style of play is not sustainable.
No.
It's not sustainable over the course of a season. It's not sustainable over the course of a career. And by the way, even if you do that for a season, that's called being Robert Griffin III. And it doesn't last.
Yeah.
And it won't last even if Jackson Dart isn't infinitely better in the pocket and they don't have an infinitely better scheme to be built around him. And what is one of the Giants' problems that they have? O-line play.
And by the way, even with the quarterbacks who we think have it and we know are good, look at Jaden Daniels. He just won the MVP, and that guy got hit more than anybody last year.
Yes.
And even if he can figure it out, even if he's got good pieces around him, if he gets hit that much, he's not going to be on the field.
And he's already been hurt.
And he's already out.
Already you're seeing a little bit of a regression, which is why I've said, everyone tap the brakes. We did this with C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud looked as good as any rookie I've seen play in 15 years. And what have we seen the last 2 years out of C.J. Stroud? Regression.
Yep.
Why? The running game goes kaput. They don't have an O-line. They've traded offensive coordinators and no one can seem to figure out what they're doing. And he's running for his life back there. And they have no semblance of what they're doing from an offensive perspective. But they play great defense and they're in games. And we can ask the question, what's wrong with C.J. Stroud? And I'm telling you, it's deeper than that. So even with the Jackson Dart, who everyone's in love with this week, I'm telling you, mark it down. Unless something drastic changes in the way the Giants are playing offense on the offensive line and how they're using Jackson Dart, that experiment right there, in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we're all going to look up and say, what happened to Jackson Dart? And what happened was what was always going to happen.
Yeah, nothing actually happened to him. People just started attacking him.
Yes. It's like the guy that goes out to a golf course and he's kind of got a crappy swing, but he can time it up. You ever have that? I've been told that like guys that have really handsy swings, you can time it, and or streaky shooters.
It won't work for anybody. It works for them if they get in a rhythm.
Yes, but once you get out of the rhythm and being able to have a consistency to it, it doesn't work. And so you have these huge variances, and that's kind of where these offenses are at. When things are working or you're playing against bad defenses that can be schemed up, you can make it look good. But over the long term, these things just aren't really successful. Just like my plan to talk the NBA. Because once I get going on O-line play, once I get going on schemes in the NFL, look out.
Yeah.
All right, I promise. At some point, we will get to being black and red.
We think.
Although we're up against it, so maybe we'll do this.
Top of the hour?
Top of the hour. When we come back, I'll touch on the Beaver thing, because we don't have a lot of details, but something bad is happening down in Corvallis, and not on the field. This is off the field.
That's being nationally covered.
Yeah. So we'll touch upon that. So we'll go black and orange. And then at the top of the hour, we'll circle back and we'll talk about black and red. Primetime here on The Fan.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Reports coming in about the absence of Isaac Rupp. Now someone is suggesting, did he get trapped inside one of the infrared saunas? You know, he's going to that wellness spot.
That's
now
a good. Or did he just freeze in one of the cold plunges?
Yeah, he goes to the cold plunge and the infrared sauna.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else has brought up, the working theory right now is that Rupp has been deported.
Yeah.
He was once told that he looked Middle Eastern by an insider. So, like a radio insider. Can we also point out the Asahi brand? Seems kind of foreign to me.
Ooh.
Is it possible that he got pulled over and then they was like a license of registration and he pulled out Isaac Rupp and they're like, nice try, you son of a bitch. We know who you are, Asahi. And they're like, where's the documents? And he's like, what do you mean? And they're like, yeah, nice try, Asahi. It's possible now. And I think this is my working theory that Asahi has been arrested and has been deported. It's the only thing at this point that makes sense.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I mean, I think that...
Asahi sounds like someone that's getting deported right now.
It certainly does. And in today's climate, we are, you know, we're America first here. And if he's going to be making money from, you know, the Italian banks of the Italian
not
coast or whatever,
here.
Not up in here.
Not up in here. Not with the National Guard rolling in.
America, right. Yeah!
Now, this comes from Sportico, and Angie Machado, who does a great job, she runs the Beaver Blitz. Now, we did reach out to Angie, and she said she's just seeing the story.
Yeah, not her story, doesn't
not her
have
story.
Any insights on it yet.
Yeah, so we've kind of, at some point, we've reached out to the person at Sportico that wrote this. We've reached out to Angie if she kind of gets her head around this. And by the way, everything right now is just, it's one story. And again, this is from Sportico. And so take all of this, obviously, with a grain of salt. But Sportico had, this is from Angie, by the way, this is her tweet. She said, Sportico has an interesting read for all Beaver fans in regards to Oregon State's agreement with Blueprint Sports. Now, who's Blueprint Sports? They are the company that Oregon State hired to run their name, image, and likeness and revenue sharing. So if you don't know, name, image, and likeness, we know that's been around, but revenue sharing just started this year. And this is where each Division I team can spend up to, I believe it's $20.5 million this year, and it goes up each year. And you get to decide how much of that you want to spend and how much of that you want to split up between your athletes. So they hired a company to basically, and now you can bring NIL in-house. So they hired a company to run their NIL and their revenue share. And apparently, they are paying them $284,000 a year to run that, which, by the way, seems like a lot, but I don't know what the I don't know what the administration fee is.
Yeah, I don't know what the going rate is. I don't know based on what you plan on spending, what makes the most sense. But yeah, it's hefty.
So you're giving them $300,000 a year. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's millions of dollars that I guess are coming in. Seems reasonable. What's interesting, as she's pointing out, is they also get to keep 50 to 75% of the funds that are raised. Yeah, you heard that right. So this is from the article. The OSU agreement calls for an annual management fee of about $284,000 from the school to Blueprint, and a profit-sharing agreement based on a baseline fundraising target of $750,000 in year one. So you're trying to raise $750,000. You have to pay them $284,000 out of your pocket, which increases by 3% every year after. And then the company gets to keep 75%, by the way, this is Blueprint Sports, gets to keep 75% of net direct revenue between the baseline target, so $750,000, and $1.15 million. So if they raise anything above $750,000 between the $1.15 million, they get to keep 75% of that?
Yeah, right below it, it says, so, for example, if Blueprint generated $3 million of net direct revenue in a year, it would receive a total payout, including management fee and fundraising bonus, of $1.5 million, slightly more than half of the pie.
And then get this. Once you go above the, you mentioned there, you alluded to it, once you go above $1.15 million, they keep 50%.
Yeah.
And they get a contract administration fee of 1.25% of all NIL compensation.
Now, I'm not in this this business admin NIL game, but this seems like a bad business deal for the OSU side.
I'm baffled. And again, this is one article. There may be more to this than meets the eye. But if this reporting is correct, and Sportico, by the way, does a really good job.
It also mentioned that it seems like Maryland may have been their first client. I don't know if they still are, too, and if this affects them at all.
In what world does some... So regardless of how much money Oregon State raises, they get half of whatever money is raised in NIL and revenue sharing. Oregon State gets half of it? Am I wrong in thinking that this sounds like some sort of bad mortgage deal or like a bad agency deal?
Yeah, potentially.
Or, this is like Motown music back in the day, like Berry Gordy. He's like, hey, Sugar Tees, I'm going to sign you to this record deal. And don't worry, daddy's only going to take 75% of the money up front. And then I'm going to take 50% of it. Like, this seems...
Yeah, so I'm reading a quote from the CEO of Blueprint that says the business is about building as big of a revenue pie as possible. So maybe if they're selling on that and they're saying, listen, if the pie gets bigger, it doesn't matter that you're getting less of it because it's still a very big piece of a
but
very
we still
big
take
pie.
Half of
but
it?
That still seems like a crazy percentage to be losing.
I have never in my life heard of any sort of business where the company that's in charge of administering gets half. And again, if I'm wrong about this, and this is like standard business practice for these NIL things,
you've got to be able to get a better deal elsewhere, you would think.
Boy, that seems, the best part is Angie just puts, seems excessive, what am I missing? And again,
that's
Angie,
right.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Maybe we are missing something, but boy, the hits just keep coming for Oregon State, right? 0-5, seems like a dead man walking at coach, bizarre statements that come out of that place, rumors of players already looking elsewhere to transfer. And now this? But I'll tell you what, this is not what you need right now if you're Scott Barnes in Oregon State. But I do think that someone at Oregon State, i.e. Scott Barnes, probably should address that.
I would think so.
Yikes. Not a good... Hey, maybe App State, right? Boy, you lose to App State. Don't let him back on the plane.
I mean...
Everybody. Just.
Do you have any confidence they would win any road game right now?
It's App State.
I know.
It's App
I know
State.
It is.
Yikes. Bad time. I feel for you, Beaver fan.
Yeah.
I feel for you. We come back from black and orange to black and red. We talk a little Blazers. Prime time here on The Fan.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.